This is Jay Sekulow. A vote in Washington, D.C. in the United States Senate. The issue, F-16s to Egypt.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What's your view of the United States selling F-16s? Four have been delivered and 10 more to, or 16 more to go in a 2010 deal to Egypt.
Actually, a huge mistake. You know, the original deal was made with another leader who was deposed by a somewhat semi-violent revolution. And so I don't think it's a good idea.
The deal was made to Mubarak, who was an ally of the U.S. Things have dramatically changed now. We've gone from Mubarak to not a freedom movement, but a tyrannical Islamic theocracy with the Muslim Brotherhood, who is a sworn enemy of Israel and a sworn enemy of the United States. I think we really need to suspend and look at the issue of giving them foreign aid, as well as weaponry.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There is significant criticism of the U.S. continuous support to the Brotherhood regime. This is not a support to the Egyptian state, although the agreement was done under the Mubarak regime, but things have changed. So the opposition in Egypt is advising the Obama administration to stop sending any weapons until the Morsi regime will change course and back on track for democracy. So it would be advisable now for the United States to freeze sending weapons, especially these weapons, to Egypt.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-31-DAY, a busy day in Washington, D.C. In addition to the nomination confirmation hearings for Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense, which in and of itself is problematic, there is going to be a vote today on a prohibition of the sale of military weapons or transfer of military weapons, including the F-16s, to Egypt. Let's go right to Washington, D.C. Than Bennett's our Director of Government Affairs. He's going to be addressing the particulars of this. Jordan, let's first get your sense of what is going on right now. Then I want to get particulars from Than.
Yeah, I mean, this is the short-term spending bill, the debt limit, all these issues right here, suspending the debt limit, and it's only carries on through a few months, you know, till May. And what Senator Paul wants to do here, Rand Paul, is suspend any kind of sale of weapons or transfer of weapons, even if they're already paid for, to Egypt during that period. Not forever, not for 2 years, for literally from today moving to May 18th. I mean, this is the period of time where it's pretty easy to predict that we don't even know who's going to be in charge of Egypt, or different people may be in charge of Egypt. They don't need new F-16s that they have to set up with the U.S. government while they're having their own internal conflict, taking these tanks into the streets.
Yeah,
and mowing down people.
You know,
we don't know who's going to be the leader of Egypt next week.
You don't, because the Morsi government is the right now the focus of millions of people protesting Tahrir Square. And Than, let's talk about specifically what is in this bill that is going to be voted on today, folks. We're going to tell you how to take action on this in a moment. But what's in this bill? What does it do particularly? And what's the process of what's going to happen today?
Here's the key language. It says that the United States government shall not license, approve, facilitate, or otherwise allow the sale, lease, transfer, or retransfer or delivery of F-16 aircraft, M1 tanks, or other heavy weaponry. Jay, this is an amendment that's going on a bill, like Jordan said, that is going to pass, that the president has to sign. He needs this borrowing authority. So this is brilliant legislating from Senator Paul. This is going to get a vote in around 2:15, maybe before 3 o'clock. Every senator is going to have to go on record and make their voice heard on these F-16s.
Folks, we are focusing on this like a laser beam, and this is where you come in. We're taking your calls. What do you think about F-16s going to Egypt, and what do you think about the going to the Muslim Brotherhood? 1-800-684-3110 is the number. The vote is today. There is a chance that we can have this stopped through congressional action. That's where you come in. 218,000 of you have signed on our petition to stop this funding. Today's the vote, folks. If you haven't signed on to it yet, today's the day to do it. 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org, folks, to petition matters. Well, Senator Paul's taken to the floor of the Senate today to make sure your voice is heard to stop this funding of this particular weapons to the Muslim Brotherhood until we know what at least what's happening in Egypt. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We may be hearing from Senator Paul in the next few minutes on the broadcast. So again, let's add your name to this list right now. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. The vote's today. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
We are at a critical point. We've been telling you for months now about the Obama administration's plans to send high-tech weapons, F-16s, and state-of-the-art tanks to Egypt under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, the administration already has delivered the first four of the 20 jets. That's right, U.S. weapons given to radical Islamists who embrace Sharia law, a dictatorship that tramples religious freedom and human rights. And what's worse, U.S. weapons in the hands of terrorists, a grave threat for Israel and our national security. Now, in the Senate, an important vote, just hours away. A vote that could put a stop to sending $200 million of taxpayer-funded U.S. weapons to the terrorist-led nation of Egypt. But we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition and tell the Senate to stop funding the terrorists. No more F-16s. No more M1 Abrams tanks. Add your name to our petition, 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I also need to say, Jordan, that Senator Paul's bringing this legislation or this bill up, but he's also, and you pointed this out, that he was one of the original 12 senators who sent the letter to then-Secretary of State Clinton about Saeed Abedini.
That's right. There were 37 members of the House of Representatives, 12 U.S. senators. He was the first, one of the first names on that letter, demanding the release of this American citizen. So he's out front on this issue, out front for Pastor Saeed. And again, folks, I think it's just, this is a common sense one. It's not, should we, if Egypt stabilizes,
sure,
keep funding and make sure they keep the peace in the Middle East like they used to. They weren't our enemy. But right now, it's not even if they're our enemy or not. It's, we don't know whose Egypt it's going to be.
Yeah.
By the time the plane lands and delivers the tanks, we do know what our tanks will be used. You know, John McCain just said on the Senate floor, Senator McCain said, well, what about the U.S. jobs and building the tanks? First of all, they're built. They're paid for. I mean, we've already paid for them. So
we'll
we're
take
them on
the
hold.
Tanks. Let's put them in our own U.S. military. How about that?
Second, like this.
Send
so just
Israel.
Because you know, this may be that we're not ordering as many weapons right now. We still need to do so because we're going to deliver them to people who are going to roll over Christians in the street. That's what they used them last time for.
Right.
I mean, the truth is, you sometimes, there is a budget issue here, obviously, but also there's just common sense. That statement alone just shows. So we will sacrifice people, innocent people, so that we can send our tanks over to a country that may turn them against us one day.
You know, part
and,
of the
you know, again, it's just, it's unbelievable that they're debating this.
Yeah, part of the justification for this is, well, we want to keep the Egyptian military happy. They've been our ally. There's one fundamental problem here. It is not the Egyptian military that was under President Mubarak. It is a different military. Remember Scott O'Grady, folks? He was the F-16 pilot that was shot down over Bosnia behind enemy lines and escaped. I mean, a guy, a daring story. He's very well-respected military man. He talked about the fact that the Egyptian military is different the other day on Sean Hannity's broadcast. Listen to the statement from Scott O'Grady again. The pilot that was shot down in Bosnia knows the strengths of these weapons, knows about the Egyptian military.
The one respected institution in Egypt is the Egyptian military. And now the generals that were in charge of the Egyptian military have been replaced to now have generals that are sympathetic to the Muslim Brotherhood. I would say that we should suspend all military aid to the Egyptian military unless we see a regime change.
Folks, this is just common sense. I mean, this is just common sense. So we just got, what do we have right now, Than? You got some breaking news here?
Yeah, we're watching C-SPAN 2 here in the studio, Jay. Senator Rand Paul just left the Senate floor in this debate. I'm emailing with his staff in the Senate now. It looks like this vote, Jay, could happen in a matter of the next 5 or 10 minutes. So I'm literally emailing with Senate offices, letting them know where our members stand on this. Could be in the next 10 minutes.
All right, folks, here's what I need you to do. I mean, it could be any moment now. You go to your phones at go to the website at aclj.org and sign that petition. Or you call us right now, folks. Time is of the essence. This vote could be in the next 10 minutes. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Folks, we have no time to waste to try to stop what is absolutely an act of suicide, in my view, sending this weaponry to the Muslim Brotherhood. And now we've got Senator Rand Paul taking the stand, willing to move the legislation that we're asking for forward, folks. Your petitions matter, but now we've got to get behind them. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's go to the phones. And by the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Carmen calling from Kentucky, the home state of Senator Rand Paul. Carmen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Carmen.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. You're on the air.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to say I think it's a very, very, very bad idea to send any kind of weapons, money, anything, you know, to any kind of radical
regime. You know, we're not talking about sending humanitarian aid here, folks. We're not talking about food and medicine, schooling supplies. We're talking about F-16s and Abrams tanks, sophisticated weaponry that will be used against Egypt's own citizens, not only against Israel. Egypt's own citizen, who are right now protesting the Islamic regime. Now, Than, there's going to be some procedural moves here, so we need to get people prepared for this. What do we think is going to happen procedurally?
Well, procedurally, as soon as they call this up for a vote, every senator is going to have to go on record. Senator Rand Paul is going to request a recorded vote, so every senator has to go to the floor and make their position known. And that's key here, Jay, because we can actually stop the delivery of these F-16s. And if the United States Senate goes down, if the members of the Senate go down and actually stand in favor of delivering these F-16s on this week when Egypt is in the disarray that they are, we obviously have a real problem. What Senator Rand Paul has done is give us an opportunity to see where every member of the United States Senate stands. Now, if it passes, Jay, then our attention will have to turn to the House because they will have to pass this provision too. But step one, the United States Senate this hour.
You know, folks, we don't know if this is going to pass or not. We're working really hard on it. And if it does, it's great. If it doesn't, we then have got at least the momentum going in our direction for this to really stop. There's other legislation. We got to get a vote here, and we're going to get that vote. Again, that vote could be in 5 or 10 minutes. We expect to be joined possibly by Senator Paul in about 5 or 10 minutes. So, folks, you go to aclj.org because we want to tell Senator Paul. Right now we've heard from 218,642 people online. Actually, 218,766 online, and with phones probably well over now 250,000. We need you to add your name. With vote is momentarily. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Do the petitions matter, folks? You're getting a vote. We are getting a vote on this defunding to stop it's not just defunding, to stop this weaponry going, and this isn't critical here, to the Muslim Brotherhood, whose government, by the way, is falling apart in Egypt. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Jordan, give us a momentum feeling of what's going on right now in D.C. on this.
You know, the issue, we started talking about it. People started, you know, there are a couple of members of Congress brought it up. And finally, it became this whole issue first was, why are we sending this to the Muslim Brotherhood? There's all these statements about Jews, not just Israel, Jews as well. And part of the reason, the only reason, actually, that they get these weapons from us is because of their peace agreement with Israel. So when you have their new president mocking Jews, mocking Zionists, calling for their destruction, calling for their death, calling them enemies and untrustworthy and pigs and apes. You know, why? You don't rush. No need to rush. The original agreement was void. He's been replacing and trying to replace more and more members of the military. It's kind of split now, so you don't know who's going to be in charge, but it's certainly not going to be 100% what it used to be, which was a pretty U.S.-allied Arab military because we trained them. But this is something different's happened here. The mindset has changed in that part of the world. You could have trained them, but they weren't allowed to be Muslim Brotherhood 5 years ago. Now they're allowed to be Muslim Brotherhood. They're going to have to make their own decisions. And some of them have been holding back. They're all Muslim. You know, it's predominantly the enlisted men of the Egyptian armed forces, not the generals, but everyone else. They're predominantly Islamist. I mean, that's just, if you look at the makeup of Egypt, they'd be happy to start a war with Israel if they could.
Yeah, and a lot of the generals have been replaced by Morsi to get his more friendly. Right now, we've got, joining us on the phone right now, is Senator Rand Paul. And, Senator, thanks for being with us, and thanks for your action on this F-16 and these tank situation. But thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
So, Senator, let's talk about exactly what you've got proposed right now. And by the way, we've heard from almost 250,000 people from around the country that are backing you on this and supporting what you're trying to get done. Let's explain exactly what the legislation is designed to do or the bill.
I'm very concerned about the F-16s and the Abrams tanks that are currently being sent to Egypt. And this bill would stop that. We're in the process of transferring them. I think Egypt is in danger of unraveling. I think Egypt has become increasingly hostile to Israel. I think the comments of the president calling Jews bloodsuckers, descendants of apes and pigs, you really can't. I mean, who can argue to send advanced and sophisticated, the most sophisticated fighter planes in the world, to a guy saying things like that? 3 months ago, he was at a prayer meeting with a cleric who was chanting death to Israel and her supporters, and he's nodding his head and saying amen. I think there's a real risk and a danger to sending this man and this unstable government our most sophisticated weapons, not to mention the fact that the taxpayers having to pay for these.
Yeah, which that in and of itself is mind-boggling to me. But let me follow this up, Senator, because there is a sense that right now that you've got a situation with a very unstable regime in the Muslim Brotherhood-led regime in Egypt is not stable. The idea that we made an agreement 2 years ago with Mubarak and now we have to fulfill it, this is like as if there's a contract here that's valid, it seems ridiculous. What's your sense of the sense of the Senate right now? I know you're expecting the vote shortly. We're coming up on a hard break here in about 30 seconds, but I want to see if you can hold over. But go ahead and give me your sense of where you think things are right now.
I think 80% of the people are with me, and I think 20% of the Senate is with me. Mm. And that's unfortunate. These people are stuck in a mindset that's 20, 30 years old. And I think they're frankly wrong. I'll probably be voted down, but I hope the American public will let these people know that they disagree with the vote.
Yeah, well, Senator, thanks for doing this. Hang on a second here, and let me say this. We've got folks, we're hitting a hard break here, but you're hearing Senator Rand Paul just left the floor of the United States Senate. Here's the question. Are the American people with him? I believe you are. Go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition supporting Senator Paul's legislation, or call us right now at 877-989-2255. Sure, it's an uphill battle, folks. That's what battles are all about. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in just a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. We are at a critical point. We've been telling you for months now about the Obama administration's plans to send high-tech weapons, F-16s, and state-of-the-art tanks to Egypt under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, the administration already has delivered the first four of the 20 jets. That's right, U.S. weapons given to radical Islamists who embrace Sharia law, a dictatorship that tramples religious freedom and human rights. And what's worse, U.S. weapons in the hands of terrorists, a grave threat for Israel and our national security. Now, in the Senate, an important vote.
just hours away. A vote that could put a stop to sending $200 million of taxpayer-funded U.S. weapons to the terrorist-led nation of Egypt. But we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition and tell the Senate to stop funding the terrorists. No more F-16s. No more M1 Abrams tanks. Add your name to our petition, 1-877-989-2255 or online, ACLJ.org.
We're expecting a vote. The Senator Paul was on the broadcast. He said it's going to be an uphill battle, but a battle worth fighting about. The battle, of course, is to stop the funding of these F-16s going to the Muslim Brotherhood. Vote today. If you haven't signed on to that petition, folks, 240,000 of you have. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. 2255. We may be joined by Senator Paul again. He's calling from the floor, the outside the floor of the Senate, any moment here. Waleed Ferez is the author of The Coming Revolution. He's on Newsmax and Fox News a lot. He knows this issue. Talking about the selling of the F-16s, hear what he had to say.
There is significant criticism of the U.S. continuous support to the Brotherhood regime. This is not a support to the Egyptian state, although the agreement was done under the Mubarak regime, but things have changed. So the opposition in Egypt is advising the Obama administration to stop sending any weapons until the Morsi regime will change course and back on the track for democracy. So it will be advisable now for the United States to freeze sending weapons, especially these weapons, to Egypt before democracy is reestablished.
Senator Paul called us in moments ago from the Senate floor. We had to go to a break, so we hope to get him back. But Jordan, your sense, and then fan of, he said it's going to be an uphill battle. He said 75 or 80% of the American people are with him, but he's afraid that 80 members of the United States Senate may be opposed. The fact is, this is just the beginning of this battle, and only four of those F-16s, which is still significant, have gone. We've got room to work here, Jordan.
Yeah, we have room to work, and there's a crisis there brewing. And honestly, the fact that the Senate's having to do it, that Rand Paul's having to do it, tells you about this administration when it comes to these decisions. Common sense. I mean, this is a different discussion even than 2 weeks ago. We were talking about it before then. But now, this week, you had their top general say, our government may fall. Now, was that a threat to the Morsi government? Or is that a threat to the world that if you don't support us, we're going to fall apart? We don't know. And our government was not good at predicting what was happening right before the Arab Spring in Egypt.
Sure.
We didn't predict the fall of Mubarak, and we were caught off guard, and we said it. The CIA didn't know. No one was picking up on how real this could be. When the people take to the streets there, and it's our tanks mowing them down, you wonder why they burn American flags in the street.
Yeah, and Jordan, let me say this. I mean, the senator said that he thinks he has 80% of the American people, only 20% of the U.S. Senate. We have seen this time and time again. When you have 80% of the American people, right, and they are speaking out, elected officials, they move. So even if we lose today's vote, we'll at least know where the Senate votes are a problem. And if 80% of the American people are with us and they stand up and they speak out, we're going to win this one before it's over.
Yeah, folks, here's what I want you to understand from a strategy standpoint. It's exactly what Jordan and Than just said. What we're going to find out today, win or lose, we're going to find out today where each senator stands. Then it becomes our job, yours, mine, our government affairs team, you that are listening to this broadcast, ACLJ members, to now engage Senate by Senate, House District by House District, and win this. Because you know what? If it's exactly what Than just said. If 80% of the American people are with us, which I believe that is probably an understatement, well, then we can carry the day here. But folks, this is where you come in. The Senate vote is happening today. I want to make sure you have raised your voice of concern that you do not want this regime. The Mubarak regime is gone, folks. The Morsi regime is the Islamic Brotherhood. They're the Muslim Brotherhood. They're the radical Islamic Muslim Brotherhood. You go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition, or you call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. We may be hearing from Senator Paul in a few minutes. We don't know yet, folks. He left the floor of the Senate to come talk to us. He may have had to go back on. We'll find out. But we're going to be in contact with his office this afternoon. So if you haven't signed on to the petition, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. I really believe with phone calls and internet today and tomorrow, we could have this thing over 300,000 signatures. Let's go get a phone call. Jordan, who's next?
Yeah, Robert called in from Maryland on line 3. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Jay?
Good.
Jordan. I wanted to ask the both of you two questions, basically. The first question is, does President Barack Obama, our own president, see does he look at the Muslim Brotherhood as being a radical Islamist organization? That's the first question. And the second question is...
Hang on, Robert. Let me do the first. I'm going to come back to you in a second. I want to let our TV radio guys here know. I want to have that statement where the president was asked about whether, in fact, Egypt was an ally or not. Do we have that one? We do have it. Well, Robert, here's an answer to the question. You had the president of the United States was asked the question, are they an ally? Here's his answer.
Would you consider the current Egyptian regime an ally of the United States?
I don't think that we would consider them an ally.
Well, there you go. So that answers the first one. Then you ask yourself this question. If you don't consider them an ally, why would you send them F-16s and Abrams tanks? Now, the reason is, well, this was an agreement made with Egypt previously. Yes, but there's been a hostile takeover of Egypt. The contract should be null and void. But you asked a great question, Robert. I didn't mean to cut you off. What was the second part of that?
Yeah, the second question was, if this bill passes that they and it passes in the House, that they refuse to send the F-16s and the M1 Abrams tanks to Egypt, will the president sign it into law or will he veto it?
Good question.
To send the weapons to Egypt anyway.
All right, so Robert, that's a great question. Than, let me ask you this. If, regardless of this bill going through or not, but let's say we get one through, is this one where the president vetoes, or was Secretary of State Clinton's statements about the instability of the regime enough now, even though she's outgoing, that they're going to have to really look at this carefully if, in fact, the House and Senate were to say, don't do this?
Well, first of all, I don't necessarily trust the president on this, but I have to tell you, this is what makes what Senator Rand Paul has done so brilliant here, because if you attach this amendment to the type of bill that's being considered today, this is a bill that gives the president the authority he needs to borrow debt for the next 3 months that he needs to keep the government open. He is not going to veto that bill. So if you can attach this language to something like this bill, the president's going to have no choice but to sign it. That's what makes this so brilliant today.
All right, folks, we want you to take direct action. We're going to let you know how in a moment. And remember, we're here for another half hour. If you're on SiriusXM, you're getting the full hour. If not, go to aclj.org. We're streaming it online. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110. Now, Senator Paul's bill could be voted on in moments, maybe later this afternoon, could be in 5 minutes. We know this. This is the first affirmative vote we're going to have on this. At the end of the day, we're going to know where each member of the United States Senate stands, what our obstacles are ahead, and how we get over those obstacles. We are going to get members on record. None of this would have happened. None of this would have happened without the hundreds of thousands of you contacting us to get your voice heard. Now, here's the unique opportunity. As we get ready to go into a break, I want to be able to tell Senator Paul's office this afternoon that we've exceeded 300,000 signatures, both online and on the phones. So I need everybody that hasn't signed on this petition to stop these F-16s from going forward to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org to sign on to that petition, or you pick up your phone right now. The vote is today. Let us take action today. 1-877-989-2255. Thousands of you have gone to the website and to the phones already. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Senator Paul said it. The American people are with him. He knows he's got an uphill battle in the Senate. You willing to fight? You willing to fight to make sure your F-16s and your taxpayer dollars don't go to the Muslim Brotherhood? Then you go to aclj.org or you call right now at 1-877-989-2255. Folks, you need to shut these. I mean, so many calls need to come in. You need to shut the phone lines down. aclj.org. Or 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
Now, in the Senate, an important vote. Just hours away, a vote that could put a stop to sending $200 million of taxpayer-funded U.S. weapons to the terrorist-led nation of Egypt. But we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition and tell the Senate to stop funding the terrorists. No more F-16s. No more M1 Abrams tanks. Add your name to our petition, 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
the broadcast, everyone. Well, Senator Rand Paul called in right from the floor of the United States Senate when he was talking about the issue of the F-16s not going to Egypt. He's got legislation going forward on that right now. Let me play for you. This is number 17. Moments before he was on our broadcast, this is what he had to say.
The president of Egypt has called Jews bloodsuckers and descendants of apes and pigs. The president of Egypt has also said that when we look at the relationship of Israel and her supporters, he said, stood next to a cleric and chanted amen, and said amen that we should go after and destroy Israel and the supporters of Israel.
Folks, you got to thank Senator Rand Paul, and we appreciate him coming on our broadcast. I know a lot of you have been holding for a long time. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's try to grab a call right now.
Yeah, Ed in Arizona, online for Ed. Welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Ed.
Yeah, I was going to say there is precedent for not delivering the weapons. Back in the late 60s, early 70s,
right.
Muammar Gaddafi made a total change in policy. He had ordered a whole fleet of C-130 aircraft.
Right.
Those aircraft had been paid for. The U.S. government ordered Lockheed to mothball those airplanes. And I don't know if they ever delivered, but I saw them 2 or 3 years later when I was in the Air Force. They were still sitting there, and as far as I know, they were never delivered.
I don't think they were ever delivered. And, Jordan and Than, that's because situations on the ground change. You modify your policies and your positions as the United States of America. When situations on the ground change, you react to those changes. And that's not so hard to figure out. That's what you do.
No, and that's why we have these systems of government where Congress can step in. They don't usually step in, but they can because they control the money. They control what we're paying for. And the president, it would send a very loud and clear message that, yeah, they don't get to dictate foreign policy, but they can tell you don't have any money to spend on it.
Right.
And that's the role of Congress. And I think too many of these senators think that, you know, well, what if I'm president one day? So they've got this mindset that I don't want anybody telling me what I do if I become president. But the truth is, the president doesn't get the budget. He's not the one that decides what the budget is, what the funding is. And then John McCain said, you know, this is about jobs. We've already paid for these, so we put them on hold. We're talking about a few months here, a window when we know there's instability. Are we really going to send tanks to places that are in crisis and civil war because, well, they already ordered them and that may affect jobs even though they've already been built? Why are we sending our troops there to train their pilots right now when we don't know who they'll be bombing?
I mean, think
you know,
about
will they
that
be bombing
moment,
the government?
Folks.
Will they be bombing others? Are they going to try to unite their country by attacking Israel with Syria and Iran, who threatened to do so today? You know, that's what these dictators love to do, pick another fight that'll unite the people. You look at Syria, you look at Iran, and now they're friends with the Muslim Brotherhood, and they've never been friends before. And you start wondering, why are we arming these people?
You know, the thing you have to look out for, folks, is exactly that. We're going to arm the enemy. And the enemy is unraveling right before our eyes. We don't even know who's going to end up ultimately having these weapons. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Senator Rand Paul was with us just moments ago. Here's what he said. This is number 19, about the fact that, well, yeah, because people are saying, well, we made a deal with Mubarak. Don't we have to fulfill it? Here's what Senator Paul had to say.
We made this deal with Mubarak. We didn't make this deal with Morsi. Currently, Egypt is unraveling. I think it's a terrible mistake to send these weapons to Egypt, and I hope my colleagues will consider that.
I got to tell you, I got to thank Senator Rand Paul for taking this forward and moving this forward because it is critical. Today and tomorrow will be critical as well. Not only the vote today, but we get to then analyze what we've got and we make a focused attack tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to have to move forward regardless of the outcome of today's votes. Remember, the president could have stopped this before we ever got today, but I have to say, what a hero Rand Paul is. The president failed to do his job, so the senator is stepping up, and hopefully the Senate and the House will cover for the president here.
All right, folks, you go to your phones if you have not signed on to this petition. We'll be taking more of your calls when we come back, but that number is 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to sign your name to the petition, folks, being voted on today. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
We are at a critical point. We've been telling you for months now about the Obama administration's plans to send high-tech weapons, F-16s, and state-of-the-art tanks to Egypt under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, the administration already has delivered the first four of the 20 jets. That's right, U.S. weapons given to radical Islamists who embrace Sharia law, a dictatorship that tramples religious freedom and human rights. And what's worse, U.S. weapons in the hands of terrorists, a grave threat for Israel and our national security. Now, in the Senate, an important vote, just hours away, a vote that could put a stop to sending $200 million of taxpayer-funded U.S. weapons to the terrorist-led nation of Egypt. But we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition and tell the Senate to stop funding the terrorists. No more F-16s. No more M1 Abrams tanks. Add your name to our petition, 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. A huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Let's get an update from Jordan on the situation with Pastor Saeed Abedini, and then I'm going to play something to you from Bill O'Reilly's broadcast last night where he had Ferez Sani on, who's a with the Human Rights Watch, which is a liberal organization, but they're backing us on the Saeed Abedini matter. Jordan, give us the latest.
Absolutely. So the latest was, and the biggest news has been Senator Lindsey Graham. We talked about yesterday on Jay Sekulow Live. When Thay and I were here, we were just gotten the letter, actually. It's not even online yet, just sent to the president. Senator Graham's office said you can absolutely start talking about this and reading from it and getting it out to people. He's the first person to go directly to the president. You had people like Senator Rand Paul, the original 12 U.S. senators, who sent the letter before the trial. They took a stand. And they sent it right to the Secretary of State, calling for her to issue a statement or actually publicly call for the release, immediate release, of Pastor Saeed from Iran because, you know, he's an American citizen. It's an easy situation. She didn't respond to them. And now we've got a letter from Senator Graham directly to the President of the United States saying, this is up to you now. Your team did not do anything. You know, you're in the transfer period now between secretaries of state, and you've got to actually not just make a public statement, but use your own personal attention to this matter. Actually oversee it now because it's on you.
It's interesting. Bill O'Reilly, as I said, had on broadcast yesterday a gentleman from Human Rights Watch, Ferez Sani. Let me play for you. This is some dialogue between Bill and Sani. Listen, take a listen. Number 15.
Is an American in jail for 8 years for doing nothing?
Absolutely agree with you.
And President Obama can't get him out.
He should not be in prison.
Right.
Organizations like ours will continue to push on this issue.
And we're glad.
And we're glad.
But the American government, as powerful it is, can't get him out.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the judiciary in Iran and the Iranian authorities who have to release him.
At the end of the day, his butt's in jail. That's what's at the end of the day. And there's Carney and everybody else. We got a statement from the new Secretary of State, Kerry. Oh, I'm concerned. Concern doesn't cut it. So that's my frustration.
And I
this little
you.
Backwater, this fascist state, there's a terrorize. And we can't do anything about it.
Well, we're fighting back hard on that one, folks, and we are going to keep you posted as stories continue to develop. We are talking also about the situation in Egypt right now. Vote today on legislation to stop this bill from going forward. Scott O'Grady, the brave pilot that was shot down over Bosnia, has been speaking out on this issue. He knows the power of these F-16s. This is number five. Listen to what he had to say about this. Actually, let me take a call first. Let's take Christy from Virginia, and then we'll do this. Christy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello, hi.
Yep.
I strongly agree with you all and 100% agree with Senator Rand Paul. May God bless him, and we need to pray for him to give strength to go on forward more and more with this. this is a very serious issue to send the F-16 to Egypt, or I should say to the radical Islamic Brotherhood regime, which is crucial, very, very dangerous people who hates us Christians all over the world and Jews, and I'm a Coptic Orthodox Christian.
Right. And you, well, you know how difficult the Muslim Brotherhood has been then on the Coptics. We've done a lot of work on that front, and it's, as you said, it's not just the aircraft; it's also those tanks. And do you still have family back in the region there that are Coptic?
I sure do have family, and I don't know how long I will have them alive for if they stay in that country. They're going into our churches, burning them alive, kidnapping our girls, and using the F-16 right on their head to either convert to Muslim or to be killed. So these same weapons will be used on them to either give up Christ or to go into their radical, and into their regime. And another thing is they're burning our flag, our American flag over there. What is America doing here? When is it going to wake up? This is a Christian country. These are not Christians. We are infidels in their eyes. They hate us. They wish for all of us to be dead. When are we going to wake up here? When is this country going to wake up here? What about 9/11 and so on? I can go on all day.
Well, let me tell you this. We've heard from, just so you know, Christy, we've heard from literally 250,000 people in not a very long period of time. People are really concerned about this. Jordan, you work with Coptic Christians, and you know the situation. You know how dangerous the situation is for them. But you and Than have been bringing up the point. We talk about these weapons being used against Israel, but the fact of the matter is these weapons could be used against Egyptians, Christians in Egypt.
Let me explain it in a pretty easy way, a simple way. It's a harsh way to say it, but it's true. Anytime the Coptic Christians raise their voice, maybe they protest and say, you're being too tough on us, or, you know, you can't, all this Islamic law, and you're shutting down our churches, then basically the government there okays firing at them, and that's what they've done. So anytime they raise their voice collectively, and it may be against the general will of the Islamic majority, the tanks roll in. They claim that they're inciting violence, and this is—it's a large Christian minority, but it's a, you know, 12, 13 million people out of a country of 85 million. That's so the remaining 70 million people are Muslims. They're not really going to be a threat. Even they're all violently protesting, which they're not. They're mostly trying to just survive, as Christy was talking about. So if they speak up, it's that dangerous, and we saw that. Those were our tanks that rolled over. And we're going to send 200 more to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, they'd love to. Listen, even though the Coptic Christians and the Muslim Brotherhood, they may not have these direct... The truth is they don't want Christians in Egypt. They don't want Christians on their land. They want to take their churches and either bulldoze them down or turn them into mosque.
Christy, let me ask you this, if you're still with us here. You've talked to your family back there. I know the situation there looks bleak. Has it gotten worse over the last several months with the consolidation of the Muslim Brotherhood's leadership? She may be gone. Well, I tell you something. It's not often you get a call like that, folks, but that shows you exactly why we've got to act and act now. ACLJ.org, if you want to stand up for these Christians and not have them taken apart by F-16s, or 1-877-989-2255. I can't even believe we're considering doing this. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that we are considering sending F-16s to a regime that is right now, Fan, falling apart in front of our eyes. Their regime is imploding. We don't even know what's going to be behind it. And we are about to send them 200 tanks and 16 more F-16s. You know, Fan, I know you deal with our government affairs. You got to convey the urgency to these members. This is absurd. It really is absurd.
We are doing it. It's almost beyond belief, and people really need to pay attention to the point that you and Jordan just made. This catastrophe for Coptic Christians that is happening as we speak, that blood, Jay, that is on our hands, our government's hands, if we continue to send these weapons. Remember, $1.3 billion each and every year. So we're dealing with this year's allocation. Jay, this is going to happen again and again and again each and every year until something like the amendment that Rand Paul put forward passes. That's why we've engaged today, and we're going to continue to do it until it becomes the law of the land.
All right, folks, you go to ACLJ.org or you call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Signing on that petition, Jordan, let's get another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Michael in Texas on line 5. Michael, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Michael.
Yes, thank you, Jay. Bless God for what you're doing.
Thanks.
I have a question, and I'd like to hear your comment.
Yep.
Given the fact that these folks, they hate us. There's no question about it. They've declared us their enemy. So transferring these weapons, would it not be a violation of the Trading with the Enemies Act?
No, because in the situation you've got, it will not be. I don't think you could legislatively say they're training with the Enemies Act because we're refusing to answer what they really are. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're talking about like Iran-Contra, basically. There we had labeled Iran's government. We had actually the laws on the books. We are not going to do any work with them. We don't recognize them. We're not sending them weapons. And it was clear that would be a violation if the U.S. government did and then was found out later to be actually supporting, you know, sending in weapons. That's a different situation than here because the U.S. government gets to label who their enemies are. And this government, of course, and people have not asked for them, by the way, to take that step. That's a huge step. We're not talking about that. We're talking about putting an arms delivery on hold for a few months while they get through whatever they're getting through because who's going to use them? Who's got time to train on them? Why are we giving people tanks when there's people protesting and they're driving the tanks right up to them? Moments away, and then you wonder why the next group of people who are in charge don't love the United States of America. But their next leaders say, but hey, give us those tanks so that they can do the same thing. It's a constant cycle, and they have not proven yet, and this hasn't been around long enough, Dad, that all they have done is threaten to break their promises with Israel. I have not seen them say they threaten to do it because of the tanks or the F-16s, but it's pretty sick. President Morsi called for a boycott of all U.S. goods 2 years ago.
Right.
Don't spend any money with the Zionist friends, the Americans, the enemies. Called us an enemy. Okay? Well, he's not having to spend any money with this. Gets him for free from his enemies. Mm. This is the disaster of U.S. foreign policy that we've seen replay over and over and over again. And it's not hard to figure out now, but you see what happens. No one wants to change. Senator, no one wants to take action.
You said no one. You're interesting. Senator Paul, who was just on the broadcast moments ago, addressed that issue to the floor of the United States Senate. Take a listen.
We're giving them some of the most sophisticated technology in the world that no one else has to offer. No one else can offer them F-16s. I don't think anybody else will. And I think we should be friends and have relations with those who want to have relations with us, including Egypt. And I don't think that necessarily means that we have to be giving them a sophisticated weapon.
Right. They want to work with the United States? Sure. We'll listen. But we don't have to weaponize them. All right, folks. We're going to be taking a break. We want you to sign on to this petition. The vote is probably today. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We encourage you to take action as that vote's going forward. We think we could top 300,000 with phone calls and the internet. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We've got a lot more ahead. Stay with us.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. We are at a critical point. We've been telling you for months now about the Obama administration's plans to send high-tech weapons, F-16s, and state-of-the-art tanks to Egypt under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, the administration already has delivered the first four of the 20 jets. That's right, U.S. weapons given to radical Islamists who embrace Sharia law, a dictatorship that tramples religious freedom and human rights. And what's worse, U.S. weapons in the hands of terrorists, a grave threat for Israel and our national security.
security. Now, in the Senate, an important vote, just hours away. A vote that could put a stop to sending $200 million of taxpayer-funded U.S. weapons to the terrorist-led nation of Egypt. But we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition and tell the Senate to stop funding the terrorists. No more F-16s. No more M1 Abrams tanks. Add your name to our petition, 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Folks, we've got a very special guest on the broadcast. Back-to-back, two different issues. So I told you yesterday, he's a good friend of the American Center for Law and Justice, Congressman John Fleming from Louisiana's 4th Congressional District. In case you didn't catch him yesterday on the broadcast, we were talking about Pastor Saeed. Congressman Fleming was one of the 37 members of the House of Representatives who did not drag their feet whatsoever. In fact, within moments, minutes of us asking that we needed this support, we needed Congress to go right to the Secretary of State and get our government involved because they've been dragging their feet for so long. Congressman Fleming signed on to that letter. He's also signed on to all of our Obamacare briefs, all of the HHS mandate briefs, which, of course, that's an ongoing, and we're winning those in federal court, probably headed to the Supreme Court, a leading voice on, in Congress on conscience issues. He's a medical doctor. And so if a family doctor, when we're talking about these issues, and some others as well that have come up, it's very important, I think, to have this kind of opinion. And it's great to have people like that in Congress. Congressman Fleming, it was great to have you yesterday. Great to have you today.
Great. Thanks for having me again, Jordan.
Let me ask you about the gun issue. Hearings yesterday, very heated. All the focus is on the weapons, and yet all of the discussion is on the mental health side. And it's a sensitive topic. I understand that with people, but it seems to be completely left out, as if these individuals would not go to greater lengths possible. I mean, it's a tough issue, but I wanted to get your thoughts on as a medical doctor and, of course, someone who supports, like we do, strong Second Amendment rights.
Well, absolutely I do. And, again, the problem is the shooter, not the firearm itself. And, really, the debate has been conflating two different issues. One is the criminal use of firearms. Criminals, of course, they get their firearms off from the street, from their friends, from their network and community. And certainly restricting access to firearms, a law-abiding citizen does nothing but disarm law-abiding citizens. It does not prevent criminals. But the bigger issue here that we're focusing on when it comes to Connecticut and Aurora, Colorado, is severely mentally ill people. The severely deranged people who not only intend to kill themselves in most cases, but they want to have a high body count by going into a school, some location where there's a mass of people, and taking out as many people as they can. And this is not an issue about how many clips or how many bullets are in the clip, what type of firearm you have. This is an issue with what kind of person does this. And the truth is, in most cases, these are people who are severely paranoid schizophrenic, a lifelong illness. They've interacted with the law enforcement system and or mental health system many times, and yet they move in and out, and nothing's done to monitor them, nothing's done to require them to be in treatment. And so our focus needs to be on the mentally ill, the severely mentally ill, not just the average person who may take an antidepressant or whatever. And that's really what I would like to focus on with legislation is, we interact with these people through our system. Why don't we force them into treatment when necessary and provide a safety buffer to society for what they potentially can do?
What is the drawback? I mean, Congressman, what has it been that people just don't want to – it's easier to blame it on guns and the mental health thing. It's too personal. But it's like what you said. We're not talking about people here who are on an antidepressant. We're talking about – troubled their whole life.
Yes.
Pretty, I mean, they've been spotted out before. They've had trouble in school. They've had trouble with their family, violent behavior. And again, people are never surprised when it comes to these situations of the individuals that carried it out. They kind of said, yeah, you know, we should have done something.
Right. These are people who are very psychotic. They're out of touch with reality. They can't hold a job. They're non-functional. And we know who they are. That is, the system knows who they are. We just don't have an infrastructure. We don't have a framework to deal with them. And so that's really where we need to take this, is, you know, to make sure that we can identify them. Remember going back to the 60s and 70s when the asylums were turned out. And look, none of us ever want to go back to those days where we warehoused humans who were mentally ill. But there's a lot we can do in, again, requiring treatment and supervision and preventing access to firearms among those who are severely mentally ill. Many of these are walking the street. That's one of the reasons why we have such a homeless problem, is that once we turned out these institutions of mental health, these people, even though they had money, they just simply chose to live on the street, or in some cases didn't have a source of income and had nowhere to go and certainly had no connection with friends and family. So we really need to take a humane approach, but deal with the people who are committing these heinous acts. And they're more frequent than you might think. Someone who goes into a store and kills three people and then themselves may be just as severely mentally ill, but the body count is not as high. And we just need to be better prepared to keep these people away from the ability to harm others.
Absolutely. Congressman, final question for you. There's a lot of talk. I mean, we have hearings. They're passionate. Listen, I feel for people in these situations. I haven't been in one. I can imagine that you would try to blame everything possible. And I understand to an extent. But I feel like others times it's those politicians who are trying to capitalize on that. And they've been trying to ban these weapons for forever. So they look for an event every so often, and then they do the same thing. Are any of these assault weapons bans that are being discussed by some of the more liberal members of the Senate and others, are we at risk of that passing? Is this more of the discussion that's beginning? And is that why it's so important to kind of set the stage now for, you know, this may not pass the House of Representatives or the Senate this time around, but we need to start talking about the real issues?
Well, first of all, I don't think Congress should be passing laws based on emotion. I think it should be based on facts, on data. And, you know, we were under assault gun ban for 10 years, and it made absolutely no difference about the death rates from firearms. So we really need to focus where the data leads us. And any time we restrict access to firearms by law-abiding citizens, such as the city of Chicago, we actually get worse results. So I would really caution my colleagues to, let's not act out of emotion. Let's act out of fact. Let's use data to lead us. And I really don't think at this point that gun bans can pass Congress. Now, we may need to strengthen our reporting system, which is pretty bad, because in many cases, criminals who should be on databases are not even there, or names are misspelled. They're just simply not being reported by local authorities. So there are ways to improve the current infrastructure and enforce the laws we have on the books. But I think beginning to ban more weapons or clips or size of clips is just the wrong way to go. We again, Second Amendment is very clear in our rights to have access for firearms for not only sportsmanship but for self-protection. And we're seeing proof every day that people are defending themselves in their own homes by the use of adequate firearm protection.
Congressman Fleming, as always, great to have you on the broadcast.
Jordan, thank you so much. And again, keep up the great work with ACLJ. We're dependent on you.
Thank you, Congressman.
Folks, that was Jordan and Dr. John Fleming from Louisiana. But today we are standing for Senator Rand Paul's amendment that would block the delivery of the F-16s, the block delivery of the M1A1 tanks to Egypt. If you want to stand with us, call now 877-989-2255. No F-16s, no tanks for the Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt.
In the Senate, an important vote.
just hours away, a vote that could put a stop to sending $200 million of taxpayer-funded U.S. weapons to the terrorist-led nation of Egypt. But we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition and tell the Senate to stop funding the terrorists. No more F-16s. No more M1 Abrams tanks. Add your name to our petition, 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.